much, Avari. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm sorry that you won't be able to stay this year, but I certainly understand the priorities of parent teaching conferences and interviews, though. Not to worry. But I said the subject of the shiur is entitled Chanukah and Yom HaAtzmaut, double question mark. No, we are not going to take Chanukah forward into the modern era. We're going to do actually in reverse and take Chanukah back into the biblical arena. Chanukah is generally understood to be a yontif, a chag, that emanates from an event that took place in the time period of Bayit Sheni. I think that's agreeable by all. And if we're in Bayit Sheni, then we are clearly post Tanakh. When does Tanakh end? The last, what's the time frame of the end of Tanakh? Yay, nay. Bayis Rishon, Churban, Golos, Bayis Sheni, Churban Bayis Sheni. When does Tanakh end? Beginning of Bayit Sheni. Technically, we call it Shivat Zion. In other words, Sefer Melachim ends with the Churban, the Galut of Yehoyachin, and the Churban of Beis Hamikdash and of Malchut Tzidkiyahu. Very last line of Sefer Melachim is where Yehoyachin in exile in Babel is taken out of prison and given a position of honor in the kingdom, so that the king of Babel can pay back his debt and say that I'm not holding the king of Israel in jail. And that's what Sefer Melachim ends. But Tanakh as a whole takes us one step further, and we have the books of Tanakh that take us through Galut Babel. They are books of Tanakh that take us through Galut Babel. They are. I can't hear. Say it louder. Daniel.
Ezra.
Ezra's ready coming back. Through Galut Babel. It's Daniel and who? What Navi was with us in Galut Babel? Zechariah is already Shivat Zion. What Navi is in Galut Babel with us? Yechezkel. Thank you. Yechezkel. Coming back, host, and one more book that's in Galut Babel. Yechezkel, Daniel, and this one you got to know. Ezra's already coming back. In Galut Babel starts and ends in Galut Babel. Say it louder. Say it louder. Somebody said it. Esther, thank you very much. Megillah Esther, what's knocking? Okay. Daniel, Esther, Yechezkel, in Galut Babel. Post Galut Babel, the return, Shivat Zion, and the beginning of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, we have the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which is really one book called Ezra and Nehemiah, and this I wouldn't expect you to know, but Dibra Hayomim goes through that process as well. Dibra Hayomim is written by Ezra. And three Nevi'im. Nevi'im known as, by the names, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They take us through the beginning of Bayit Sheni, the building of Bayit Sheni, just the first couple of years, then they disappear, Nevuah ends, and so essentially Tanakh ends with the doors of the Beit HaMikdash opening, the second Beit HaMikdash. Clear? Okay. Chanukah takes place when? Chanukah takes place when? Sometime in the middle of Bayit Sheni. That's about as good as anything. Give or take a couple of hundred years, you're pretty close. Right. Chanukah is the story of the rebellion of Hashmonim against the Syrian Greeks. The Syrian Greeks is part of the conquest of many years after, but essentially the period of the Greeks starts with Alexander the Great marching on Yerushalayim. Alexander the Great marching on Yerushalayim is not in Tanakh. Agreed? Agreed? Take my word for it if you haven't read to the rest of Sefer Malachim and Divrei Hayamim. Alexander the Great is post-Tanakh. Alexander the Great, 100 years later, we're into the story of Alexander of Antiochus Epiphanes and the conflict between the Syrian Greeks in the north, the Ptolemaic Greeks in the Seleucid dynasty of the Greeks in the south, and the conflict between them, between the Syrians and the Egyptians, and essentially that's where the story of Hanukkah begins. Agreed? Okay. So from this introduction, you learn three things. We haven't even begun this year, but you learn three things. Number one, I give you a challenge. I can give you this challenge because I can come give this year and leave. I don't have to pay the consequences of this year. You do. So therefore, I leave you with a challenge. You're here in Yeshiva for a year. Here's an opportunity. If you haven't yet gone through Tanakh, once through Bikkias, amongst your various Sarim, there's an opportunity to spend some time this year and go through at least the storyline of Tanakh through various Sfarim. If you do two Prakim a day, you should be able to manage it through the year. Challenge number one. Challenge number two, in preparation for Hanukkah, what do we read in preparation for Hanukkah? What preparation do we go through to understand Hanukkah? So we go through the halachas of Hanukkah, and we go through some of the classics, maybe the Sugyan, Gemara, and Shabbos, and Daf Chaf Aleph and Mabez, where the story of my Hanukkah begins. One of the things we don't usually read in preparation for Hanukkah is the story of Hanukkah, which is written where? In Sefer HaMakabim. Sefer HaMakabim is available. It's called Sefer Chashmonim or Sefer HaMakabim. It's available to us either in Hebrew or in English. It was originally, the original was in Hebrew, but the version that we have today is actually the Greek. It's been translated both into Hebrew and in English, so you don't have to struggle with the Greek. It's available. It's probably in the Beis Medrash, in the Otsa downstairs, and it's worthwhile reading through. What we're going to do today is a couple of sources related to the story of Hanukkah, both from Makorot Chazal and in Tanakh, even though, as I started with my assertion, which was that Hanukkah is essentially a post-Tanakh Chag, you're going to try to take the roots of Hanukkah back to Tanakh to see if they're there. And thirdly, a little bit of a familiarity with Sefer HaMakabim, because I think it's important to understand some of the dynamics of Hanukkah. I'm going to start with the Gemara. You all have a source page in front of you? What time does this year end, by the way? Excuse me? 7:15. Yikes. All right. Let's do the best we can. On the front page of the source booklet that you have, we'll do as much of this as time will permit us. On the left-hand side, I've given you a short bibliography. This bibliography is essentially a series of articles that, if you want to get some real depth into some of the subjects that we will cover in this year, as well as perhaps a little bit more, in preparation for Hanukkah, these are some very worthwhile articles. The second is a very short 3-page article by Rav Yaakov Medan entitled Hanero Talalu, which is available online at the virtual Beis Medrash. The third is a much longer article, also available online, that has to do with the question which I think Rabbi Rosman dealt with yesterday, which was the attitude of Chazal towards the Chashmonean dynasty, the question of Malchut. And did they, as the critics like to say, and as the non-Jewish and academic scholars like to say, did Chazal have a vendetta against the Chashmonaim because they created a dynasty? Or, in fact, as this particular article points out, did Chazal have a very warm and positive attitude to Malchut Chashmonaim? That's available in article number 3. The first is a much longer article. It's actually a little booklet, and it's an article written by Rav Yoel Ben Nun called Yom Yisud Heichal Hashem, and much of the material that we will discuss in today's shiur is taken from that article, and of course there's much more there than is there. Idach Zil Gemor, you're welcome to take a look at it in more depth, and therefore I've given you the source. The most familiar source on Hanukkah that we have is the Gemara in Shabbos, My Hanukkah. The Gemara asks, what is Hanukkah? And we are all familiar with the Gemara. We are whether learned inside in the context of our study of Masechet Shabbos, or in some context related to a Hanukkah Shir. This is the Gemara upon which the entire story is built, so we'll just read it through quickly. My Hanukkah, the question itself means, what is the question? What is Hanukkah? Okay. What is Hanukkah? Let's see if the question matches the answer. What is Hanukkah? The Tanur Rabbanan, b'chatei b'kislev yumin t'chanukah timnaya inun d'loy l'mispet b'hon u'd'loy l'hit anot b'hon. Hanukkah is 25th of Kislev, days of Hanukkah, 8 days in which we don't eulogize and we don't fast. Is that what Hanukkah is? 8 days where we don't eulogize and we don't fast. Is that the definition of Hanukkah? If I were to ask you, what is Hanukkah, would you tell me 8 days when we don't say Tachana? Is that what you would tell me? No, clearly that's not what Hanukkah is all about. What essentially is the Gemara doing? Why does it start with this cryptic Aramaic statement about 8 days in which we don't say Tachana? Where does it come from? It comes from a brayta called Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit, anybody know what it is? Where it comes from? No? Yeah. Obi Yamin Tovim of? Close. Megillat Ta'anit is a brayta quoted in the Gemara often. It's a list of holidays all instituted in Bayit Sheni period, all relating to events of significance through Bayit Sheni. In other words, what happened in Bayit Sheni was, as they came back and they rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, they rebuilt the Malchus, they rebuilt the Jewish sovereignty, they rebuilt the State of Israel, at that time, the Second Commonwealth, there were events of great significance that they wanted to commemorate and they wanted to celebrate. So they set in place various chagim, or various days of Yom Tov of special significance. The Gemara in a number of places, beginning with Masechet Megillah and elsewhere, says, Batla Megillat Ta'anit, that after the Churban, all of the holidays of Megillat Ta'anit became null and void, because, why did they become null and void? Say it again. Why did they become null and void? Because they were directly connected with the building of the Beit HaMikdash and with the return of Shivat Zion and with the establishment of Malchut Yisrael. In other words, they were all related to the Geula. After the Churban Beit Sheni, none of that Geula stuff was relevant anymore because they had lost it. Therefore, there would be no point in continuing to celebrate those chagim, with two exceptions. Two exceptions. And they are Hanukkah and Purim. Why Purim is not the Gemara's question, although the Gemara could have asked my Purim. We are not going to address Purim at all. But of course, the question of Hanukkah is a relevant question for us. Why did Hanukkah remain? Hanukkah was related to Bayit Sheni, and clearly it was related to Bayit Sheni. What does the word Hanukkah mean? And please don't give me the answer that we give in second grade, where the word Hanukkah means Chanu Chavheh. Right, you've all heard that? The word Hanukkah means that they rested on the 25th of Kislev. You all know that, of course, that is pure falsehood. I don't know where that mystery started from, but it's absolutely false. First of all, the word Hanukkah has nothing to do with the acronym of Chanukah. Second of all, they did not rest on the 25th of Kislev. The story of Hanukkah we'll get to the 25th of Kislev as far as where it came from, but we know that after the 25th of Kislev, and after the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash, and after what Megillat Ta'anit, what Megillat Chashmonaim, or Sefer Makkavim calls Chanukah, which is where the word Chanukah comes from, because they rebuilt the Mizbeach, and therefore had to rededicate the Mizbeach. That is what Chanukah, the Mizbeach, was all about. That's what Chanukah was all about. Afterwards, they're still fighting the Greeks on the battlefields for another 3 years. So the war is not over on the 25th of Kislev. In fact, in Sefer HaShmonim, it says that when they went into the Beit HaMikdash in order to rebuild it, rededicate it, purify it, etc., they placed guards along the walls of Yerushalayim to guard from attack from the Syrian Greeks, because the war was still going on. So much for the mystery, for the myth about Chanukah. Hey? Chanukah means Chanukah to Mizbeach. They rededicated the Beit HaMikdash. We have to ask the question, if Chanukah is all about the Beit HaMikdash, then why, after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, was Chanukah still relevant, and how come it didn't go the way of the rest of Megillat Ta'anit? I leave that question open. It's an important question, a powerful question. I'm glad you asked it. We'll come back to it. Let's go back to the Gemara. My Chanukah. The Tanua Banan, the Chafei Bekislev, Yumet did Chanukah Tinaya Inun the Loilisput Bahon of Alol the Hit Anot. Bahon, 8 days when you're not allowed to be maskid or fast. And then the Gemara goes on with the Brayta. Now, Megillat Ta'anit is written in Aramaic, but there's a Brayta connected to Megillat Ta'anit with explanations of it, and that's what the Gemara quotes. The Tanua Banan. Kishenichnasu Yevanim Lehechal. So of course, you've all heard, familiar with. I'm not even going to bother translating it. We're just going to run through it. Kishenichnasu Yevanim lehechal, timu kol hashmanim shebehechal. When the Yevanim went in, they damaged all of the oil in the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, you're familiar with the famous Baal Amar, who says that it wasn't the Greeks who defiled the oil, because Balacha ein adam oser v'lo lo. A non-Jew has no shaykhus to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore no tumor that he could convey to the Beit HaMikdash. It wasn't the Greeks who defiled the oil, according to the Baal Amar, it was the Mityavnim, or the Jewish Hellenists who defiled the oil. But the Gemara was written in Beloshin Saginar, it didn't want to say that, so it wrote Yevanim. That's a separate discussion. U'kishegavra malchut Beit Chashmonai, when the Chashmonaim were victorious over the Greeks, v'nitzchu, badku v'lo matzul ala pach achad sheshemen sheyam munach b'chotamo shel kohen ha-gadol. They could only find one sealed flask of oil. V'lo haya ba ala hadlik yom achad, nasa ba nes, v'hidliku mimenu shmona yamim. What was the nes? What was the nes? It lasted for 8 days. That's how we normally translate the nes. If you look at the words carefully, and it's probably true, but there's a diuk in the words, and the words are that the nes was that they lit the oil for 8 days. Hidliku mimenu shmona yamim. I think that there's something to be said for the fact that part of the nes was they actually went and lit the oil again every day or for 8 days. But that's... Then the Gemara says, l'shana acheret... Another year, they established them these as days for Halel and Hoda'ah. What are Halel and Hoda'ah referring to, Rashi says? Halel and Alanis. Which is interesting, because what would I have expected the Gemara to say? That the Shana Acheret Kavum Nechanah. I would have expected the Gemara to say that another year they set up near Chanukah. Instead, the Gemara says, L'shana Acheret, they set up Halal and Al-Hanisim. Not quite sure how that gets back to the original question, which is, right, what are we doing with Nerot Chanukah? But the other question I have on this Gemara is why it says L'shana Acheret. What's L'shana Acheret? Was it that year that they set up Chanukah, or was it the year following? Well, what does L'shana Acheret mean? When did the Chanukah begin? Yeah. Al-Hanisim is a victory in the war, which is the second question that I have. Which is, of course, the answer to my Chanukah should be about the war. Ha'ikr chasam min ha'seif. What's the ikr story of Chanukah? Is the ikr story of Chanukah Nes Pach HaShemen? Or is the ikr story of Chanukah the victory against the Syrian Greeks? Kishagavra machut bet chashmona? it's hinted to, there's an allusion, there's a remnant to it. Kishagavu Malchut Beit Chashmonai, when they were victorious, they went in and they found Pach Hashem. But the Gemara clearly focuses on the Nes itself and conspicuously omits the issue of the battle. And of course, there has been much polemic written about why the Gemara does this. This is the source of the critics and the academics who want to claim that Chazal intentionally wrote out the story of the war from the Jewish tradition because they were because they were ultimately pacifists and anti-war and anti the Malchut Beit Chashmonaim, and therefore they wrote it out of the history books. I don't buy it. And I just don't think any of us would want to buy it. And clearly that's not sufficient an answer. There has to be something more as to why Chazal in this Gemara omitted the story of the battle. Let's take it one step further. What's the most famous question of Hanukkah? The Beis Yosef question, which is, there's enough oil for one day, why do we need 8 days of Hanukkah? Fine. To that question, there are how many answers? Excuse me? 100. More than 100. In fact, there is a book written, I think it's called Ner Lamea, with 100 answers to the Beis Yosef question. Of course, if there are 100 answers to a question, then it's a pretty good answer, pretty good bet that, excuse me, that there are more, or that there's really no question. That there's really a pshat answer to that question. And that all the drushot are all true, but they're all essentially in the level of drush. At the core, there's a pshat answer to that question, and we're going to show you what that is right now. If you take a look at the source beneath the Gemara in Shabbos, which is source number 2, what I've given you is a photocopy of the Braita of Megillat Ta'anit as we have it today. And it's available, you can go down to the Otsa, you can pick it up, you can look at it. And I've given you, the Braita has a number of sources related to Chanukah. So, the first is exactly the Gemara as we have it, with a couple of minor changes. V'esumechamisha b'yom Chanukah timnayad yom edelo l'mispad. Kishenichnesu yivanim lehechal timu kol hashmanim shebehechal, ukishegavra yad bet hashmanai v'nitzchum. בדקו ולא מצאו על הפח אחד שהיה מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול שלא נטמע לא היה בו להדליק אלא יום אחד ונשא בו נס והדליקו 8 ימים לשנה אחרת קבעום 8 ימים טובים. So first of all, there are two changes in this braita from the way we have it in the Gemara, and they are change number one, Yad Beit Chashmonai instead of Malchut Beit Chashmonai. The Gemara went out of its way intentionally to mention the Malchut, one of the issues related to a different shiur, which is the positive attitude towards the Malchut of the Chashmonaim, which tangentially you touched on yesterday, I believe. Second change. When it says Kavum, they set the holiday in place. In the our Gemara it says Kavum Yamim Tovim Bahalel Vahoda'a, and they set it in place of Yamim Tovim with Halel and Alanisi. When the writer talks about Kavum, what was it that they were Kovea? The 8 days. They were Kovea Shmona Yamim Tovim. It's a significant Kvia because we don't have any other Chagim that are 8 days long save one, and that is Sukkot. Sukkot is the only chag that we have that is 8 days long. Normally when you have a chag, you celebrate it for one day. Purim is one day. Right? Great event, celebrate it for one day. For some reason, whether it be the Nes Pach Hashemen or some other reason, we celebrate it for 8 days. Let's go to the next source. The next source is a braita that asks the question, why 8 days? The question of the Beit Yosef. Except that the question of the Beit Yosef is based on the story of Nes Pach HaShemen. The Braita makes no mention of Nes Pach HaShemen. Ma ra'u la'asot Chanukah Shmona Yamim? Everybody with me? Why is, where it says B, 2B. Why did they make Hanukkah 8 days? V'halo Chanukah she'asa Moshe b'midbar lo asa ela shivat yamim. Shne'emar mipetach or moed lo tetsu shivat yamim. V'ne'emar v'gomer. V'emar v'hi ha'mafid b'yom ha'rishon et korbano v'gomer b'yom b'shvi'i k'vi v'frayim v'chulei. We have a Hanukkah that Moshe did in the Midbar. What are we talking about? What Hanukkah did Moshe have in the Midbar? Chanukat HaMishkan. Chanukat HaMishkan in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra takes place over the course of 7 days. Correct? Fair? So the precedent for Chanukat HaMishkan is 7 days. Why did they make Chanukat HaMikdash in Beit Sheni 8 days? Second question. V'chein matzinu b'chanukah she'asa Shlomo, shlo asa ele shivat yamim. Sh'nemar ki chanukat ha'mizbeach asa shivat yamim, ve'achag shivat yamim. We have a second Chanukah. The second Chanukah is the Chanukah of Shlomo HaMelech. What's the Chanukah of Shlomo HaMelech? The Beit HaMikdash. Chanukah of Shlomo HaMelech and the Beit HaMikdash is how many days? 7 days. So now I have two precedents for a Hanukkah of 7 days. So why is Hanukkah 8 days? Says the Gemara, Umara, says the Brayta, Umara u lasot Hanukkah zu, shmona yamim, ele bimei malchut yavan, nichnasu beit chashmonai lehechal. Now listen carefully. Uvanu et hamizbeach, when they went in after they conquered the Greeks, they built the mizbeach, Bisaduhu basid, they covered it with plaster. V'tiknu bo klei sharet, they had to rebuild the klei sharet, the ministering kelim of the Beit HaMikdash. V'yumit askim bo shmona yamim. And the process of engagement in the Chanukat HaMikdash took 8 days. What's strange about this brighter? What's strange about the source? Well, that's the question. The question is why? If the two precedents we have for Chanukat HaMikdash were 7 days, why did the Chashmonaim do it for 8 days? That's the question the Brayta asked. It doesn't answer that question. But what's strange about the Brayta is, what is the source of the 8 days? According to the Brayta, it seems to have nothing to do with Neis Pach HaShemen. Neis Pach HaShemen is not even mentioned. All that's mentioned is that there was a Chanukah, referring to Chanukat HaMizbeach, and this Chanukah, meaning the time it took for them to engage in the process of the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash, was 8 days long. Doesn't tell us why it was 8 days long, just tells us that it was 8 days long. Now, FYI, parentheses, it's a little bit of a misrepresentation. Because the dedication of the Mishkan in the desert was not 7 days. In fact, it was 8. Why? Because it was 7 days of Lida. Until Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. The 8th day was the climax of the entire ceremony. And what was to happen on that 8th day? Zot Tasu, this is what you will do, beginning of Hashat Shmini. This is what you will do in order to receive a Gilui Shechina, revelation. The Gilui Shechina that was the climax of the dedication of the Mishkan in the desert was to take place on the 8th day. In the context of the Beit HaMikdash, we also have 7 days, and then the 8th day is the Gilui Shechina. So there is an 8 day precedent for both the Mishkan and the Mikdash, 7 days of preparation for the climax of the Gilui Shechina, which was the Esh Ben HaShemayim that was to take place on day number 8. The last source here in number C, Umara Ula Hadlikat HaNerot, why do they light candles? Ela bimei malchut Yavan shenichnasu bnei Chashmonai lehechal shiv'a shpudin shel barzel biyadam v'chafum be'etz v'idliku behem et HaNerot. The last story says they went to the Beit HaMikdash, they took 7 spears, they didn't even have a menorah. They took 7 spears, stuck it in the ground, and lit the menorah on the top of each one of these spears. And again, there is no reference to the Nes HaHashem. Similarly, you have in the Medrash Psikta Rabbati, classic Medrash Psikta Rabbati, if you take a look in source number 3, in the middle where it's underlined, why do we light candles on Chanukah? When the Chashmonaim beat the Yevanim, skip the pasuk, נכנסו לבית המקדש, מצאו שם שמונה שבודים של ברזל וקבעו אותם ודליקו בתוכם נרות. This version of the Medrash has that they found 8 spears, 8 sticks of metal, and they lit them each as a torch, as a menorah, as a makeshift menorah, because there were 8 of them. We have 8 days of Chanukah. What's remarkable in each of these stories is, or in each of these sources, is the absence of any reference to the Nes Pachashem. I'll go one step further. I'm going to ask a question I hope we'll have time to answer. And that is one of the great mysteries of the story of the Nes Pachashem is that in all of Sefer HaChashmonaim, which goes to the story of the Greeks and the story of the Chashmonaim and their battle against the Greeks and the story of the religious conflict and the persecution of Antiochus Epiphanes and the story of the Chashmonaim and his Matityahu and his children. The entire dedication of the Beit HaMikdash is described in detail, with one exception. There is no reference in the entire book of Sefer HaChashmonaim to the Nes HaHashem. It's simply not there. And of course, that is way to get to the Chokrim who accuse Chazal of having made up the story, Chas v'Shalom. I would never accept such a position. But we understand the depth of the question. How is it that Chazal focus only on, at least in the Gemara and Shabbos, only on the Nes Pachashem, and in the Alanisim, we focus only on the battle? There's no reference to the Nes Pachashem at all in the Alanisim. Similarly, Sefer HaChashmonaim makes no reference to Nes Pachashem, and I have a series of sources that talk about 8 days as Chanukat HaMizbeach without necessarily any reference to the Nes Pachashem either. So what's going on in the relationship between the Nes Pachashem and the battle itself? Let me turn the page over. I've given you a series of quotations from the Sefer Maccabim. And we're going to go through the top two in a moment. I just want to point out 2 very interesting observations. If you look at source number 3, do you have them numbered? You don't have them numbered, right?
Yeah.
Do you have them numbered?
No.
Okay, if you take a look on the right-hand column, the middle paragraph. You see the middle paragraph? These are excerpts from Sefer HaMakabim. I'm going to go through the top 2 in a moment. But I just wanted to point out that in Sefer HaMakabim Bet, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tet, do you see it? Ve'ata asu et yemei chag hasukot b'chamisha ve'eslim b'chodesh kislev. Somebody just tell me what happened. How does Sefer Maccabim refer to the Chag of Chanukah? As Chag HaSukkot B'Chodesh Kislev. Why would they call it Chag HaSukkot B'Chodesh Kislev? Because it's 8 days long. Again, if there's no reference to the Nes Pachashem, then where's the 8 days come from? Says the Sefer Maccabim, the celebration of Chanukah is a celebration of Chag HaSukkot. Go down to the bottom paragraph on this page. Uveyom asher I'll come back to that pasuk in a moment. Pasuk chet. Start with pasuk vav. Vayachogu et shmanat hayamim besimcha b'chag haSukkot. They celebrated these 8 days joyfully. K'chag haSukkot, they celebrated them equivalent to Sukkot. בזוכרם את ראותם לפני זמן מה בחג הסוכות בהרים ובמערות כחיות השדה. They remembered that a couple of months ago, when there really was Sukkot, they couldn't celebrate Sukkot. Where were they? They were hiding. Where? Baharimu v'me'arot. In the caves. And in the hills. Ve'alkein ba'anfei etz avot u'ba'anfei hadar u'ba'kapot t'marim bidehem hodu la'asher itzliach bi'adam l'taheret mechono. You know how they celebrated Hanukkah that year? With Lulav and Esther. Did you catch that? They celebrated Hanukkah by taking anach etz avot u'ba'anfei hadar u'ba'kapot t'marim. What are they? What are anach etz avot and anfei hadar and kapot t'marim? Right. They're three of the four species of the Arba Minim. The only one that's missing, maybe there's a reference here, there's one missing, but essentially, b'dat kulam nimnu v'kavu l'chol ama yudi l'chog midei shana b'shanata. Yimim me'ela, they set in place a chag called Chag HaSukkot. They celebrated it with the Arba Minim, all because couldn't celebrate Sukkot that year, they were hiding in the hills. For 8 days. So of course that chag is going to be for 8 days long if they're imitating or modeling after Sukkot. So the question really is, it can be reversed. Why did the Nes Pach Hashem last for 8 days? The other question is, if the oil lasted for 8 days, then it's only a 7 day miracle. I would have asked the question in reverse. Why did the oil last 8 days and not 9 days? Why did the oil last 8 days and not 12 days? How many of you have heard that it lasted 8 days because it took him 8 days to make new oil? There's no source for that. It lasted, yeah?
It's in the Rishon. It was reported that, and it takes 7 days to purify yourself from the tomb of the
day. Right.
The
so that's the theory, is that they needed to do it with Tara, and therefore they needed the 8 days in order to go through a process of Tara and become... so that they can make it in a state of purity. That's essentially the only source we have, but there's no reference anywhere in Chazal that it takes 8 days to make oil for the menorah. So it's a possibility, and again, assuming that the question starting from the assumption that the 8 days is set in place because of Nes Pach Hashem. On the other hand, if we look at it from the other side of the coin, which is that the 8 days was celebrated because they needed to celebrate for 8 days, because they were imitating Chag HaSukkot, because they were imitating the Chanukah HaMizbeach of the Mishkan, and of the Beis HaMikdash, which was an 8 day process. And therefore they were going to dedicate the Beit HaMikdash for 8 days no matter what happened. And in that context, the Nes Pach HaShemen mirrored their celebration. They were mitasek, they were engaged in the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash for 8 days, and during those 8 days they were blessed, where they were, their work was given a divine stamp of approval, the Gushpanka Ribbono Shel Olam, through the Nes Pach HaShem. In which case, I don't have the question of the Beit Yosef. I don't have to worry about why Hanukkah is 8 days. I have to worry, or why the 8 days was set in place because of Nes Pach HaShem. On the other hand, I have to answer the question why they were dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash for 8 days, and more importantly, why on the 25th of Kislev. Which brings me to my last question. Okay. Alright. Now, which brings me to my last question, which is why the date of Chafei Kislev. Especially considering the fact that, as I said earlier, the war with the Greeks is still raging for another 3 years. So where was the magic, the 25th of Kislev? If I assumed that the war ended and on the 25th of Kislev they celebrated and they were done and they went to the Beit HaMikdash, it's one thing. But if the war is not over, they're still fighting the battle on the battlefield, then where did the 25th of Kislev come from? So to answer that question, I'm going to take you through a couple of quick sources in Sefer HaMakabim, and that's going to take us back into the world of Tanakh. So take a look at Sefer HaMakabim, Aleph Perek Aleph, on the top right hand side. B'chamishah sayom b'kislev, b'chamesh v'arba'im yom, ב-5 ו-40 שנה בנו שיקוץ משומם על המזבח. What did I just read? No? What did I just read? Are we all asleep? Are we all gone? Have I lost everybody? Don't be shy. I don't bite. What did I just read? B'chamishasa yom b'kislev, b'chamesh v'arba'im shana, b'chamesh v'arba'im u'me'a shana, banu, or banu, shikutz mishomem al mizbeach. Tell me at least what you know. What did I read? Just tell me what it says. 15th of Kislev. Okay? Our story starts on the 15th of Kislev. What are they doing on the 15th of Kislev? What year are we? What year? 145. 145 year of the Greeks. Okay? 145, 10th of Kislev, what do they do? Banu? Shikutz Mishomem. What is a Shikutz Mishomem? That's the only phrase I wouldn't have expected you to know. What's a Shikutz Mishomem? Shikutz Mishomem is some kind of an idol. Shikutz referring to something which is a disgusting thing. Sheketz. And Shikutz Mishomem. They built an altar. They built some kind of a bama. Some kind of an abomination. But they did not yet put it into place. They did not worship on it. They did not serve on it. They did not bring any korbanot on it. They just set it in place in the Beit HaMikdash itself. This is the Greeks who were doing this, of course. Correct? Okay. Then they went on a rampage. They built these altars all over Harei Yehuda. And they bring sacrifices in the streets, but not yet on this bama that they built on the Beit HaMikdash. And they burnt. What did they burn? Sifrei Torah. ובכל אשר ימצא בידי איש ספר ברית וכל אשר יחפוץ בתורת דת המלך למיתו. And they would execute anybody who was learning Torah and who is engaged in a breed. And then, ובחמישה ועשרים לחודש הקריבו על הבמה אשר הייתה על המזבח. What happened? They brought a korban on this bama or shikutz. When? On the 25th of in the year 145. Does that date sound familiar? What's the date? That's the date of Hanukkah, except it was 3 years early. Because the story of Hanukkah is in year 148. So 3 years before the story of Hanukkah, the Greeks take a bama of some kind, put it into the Beit HaMikdash, defile it, bring a korban to whoever they're bringing a korban to, shikutz mishomem, in the Beit HaMikdash. And of course you can imagine what the Jews, what the response was. If you look at the end of this paragraph, v'rabim Yisrael ayu amitzim v'itchazku levilti achol tameh, they forced them to eat tameh, they forced the women, they killed the women. It's a whole description here which is really graphic, you can read it yourself. ויבחרו למות לבלתי תמי במאכלם ולבלתי חילה ברית קודש וימותו. They sacrifice themselves, they die על קידוש השם, ויקצב גדול ישראל מאוד. Then, the next piece of the story is the battle and the revolt of the Hashmonaim. So now the process is reversed. And it takes them 3 years to oust, to begin to turn the tide against the Syrian Greeks. And in the midst of that battle, 3 years later, it takes more than 3 years, but in the midst of this battle, 3 years later, in the year 148, if you take a look at Perek Dalet now, at the top of the next column, after a certain battle, our enemies are running away from us, Yehuda says to his brothers, let us go and Taher et HaMikdash, purify the Beit HaMikdash, and rededicate it. Ulechanecheu, of course, therefore the name of a chag, which is Chalev. Then they go through a whole process, and if you look at what they required to do in this description of how they purified the Beit HaMikdash, starting with Pasuk Mem Hei, or Mem Vav, they took the old Mizbeach on which they had built this altar and this sheketz, and they destroyed it, they broke it. They didn't know what to do with the stones of the old Mizbeach, so they set them aside until a Navi will come and tell them what to do. They don't have Naviim anymore. And they built a new Mizbeach. ויבנו את המקדש ואת פנים הבית ואת החצרות קידשו ויעשו כלי קודש חדשים ויביאו את המנורה ואת המזבח הקטורת ואת השולחן להיכל. They brought back all the kelim. All the kelim, of course, except the Aron, which is the only one they didn't have. ויקדרו על המזבח ויעלו את הנרות אשר במנורה ויעירו בהיכל. They lit the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash and they illuminated the heichal. And of course, what's missing right now is what the Gemara talks about, which is Nes Bach Hashem. Vayashimu al hashulchan lechem yeridu et haparochet vayachalu et kol maaseihem asher asu. They completed everything. Vayashkimu baboker b'chamisha ve'esrim lachodesh hatshiyu chodesh kislev v'shmona v'arbeim u'me'ah shana. ויקריבו קורבן על פי התורה על מזבח העולה החדש אשר עשו בעת וביום אשר תימו הגויים בעצם היום ההוא נחנך בשירים ובנבלים ובכינורות ובמצלתיים. נו, what happened? Why did they go to the Beit HaMikdash and dedicate it on the 25th of Kislev? That year, when the war is still going on, why were they so desperate to go to the Beit HaMikdash and all the preparation to complete the preparation for the 25th of Kislev? Because it was the anniversary of the date that the Greeks had defiled the Beit HaMikdash. The date became symbolic. For 3 years, the Jews lived with the understanding that the Greeks had built an idol to and sacrificed a pig in the Beit HaMikdash, an idol to their gods, on the 25th of Kislev, and defiled the Mikdash when they had their first opportunity and they liberated Yerushalayim from the hands of the Greeks. The battle on the rest of the land of the rest of the land of Israel will continue for years. But the moment they had Yerushalayim in their hands, the first thing they did was to go back to the Beit HaMikdash, purify it, get rid of all the idols, and then to set aside the dedication ceremony to coincide with the date, the 25th of Kislev. Not an accident. In more than one place, I've read you one pasuk, there's a few others, that they dedicated the Beit HaMikdash dafka in the same year that the Greeks had defiled. Which of course raises the next question, which is, why did the Greeks pick that date? I understand why the Jews went, rededicated the Beit HaMikdash on the 25th of Kislev. But the Greeks picked that date intentionally. How do I know they picked that date intentionally? Because they built the Bama 10 days early. And then they spent 10 days letting everybody know that in 10 days' time they were going to have this public dedication of sacrifice on this altar on the 25th of Kislev. So was there significance in the date that predates the Greeks themselves? And for that, I'm going to, we have to go back to the world of Haggai. Haggai, it's the last, one of the last Nevi'im, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, are the three last Nevi'im that we have at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Haggai is the one who tells them explicitly that they have to build the Beit HaMikdash. And if we're going to do a quick survey of the Nevu'ot of Haggai, unfortunately we are running out of time, so we're not going to be able to do the whole thing, but I'll show you a couple of interesting pieces. Sefer Haggai begins, Bishnat, page 4, skip to page 3. You have to give me an extra 5 minutes because we started 5 minutes late. Can we do that, or am I going to be in trouble? We have dinner. What happens next? Shnat Shnayim leDayavish Hamelech b'Chodesh Hashishi b'Yom Echad laChodesh, the sixth month and the first of the month. What's the date? Sixth month is Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. Sixth month is Elul. First of the month is Rosh Chodesh Elul. Hayad Dvar Hashem b'Yad Chagai Anavi El Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel Pachat Yehuda. Zerubbabel is the governor of Judah. There's no political leadership independent of Persia. Remember that the Jews returned from Babel under the authority of Persia. Melech Paras, Koresh, declaration, allows the Jews to come back. A quick run of review of history, Koresh allows them to come back in the first year of his reign, beginning of Sefer Ezra, and in the third year of his reign, Koresh rescinds the edict to allow the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So they start the preparation, and then suddenly Koresh says, no, I've changed my mind. And all building of the Beit HaMikdash stops. The next king to come along is Dayavesh. We are now in the second year of Dayavesh. They're still under this edict of the king of Persia that says, no building of the Mikdash allowed. The Navi comes to the people and says, Komer Hashem Tzvaot, Ha'am hazeh amru lo et bo et beit Hashem lehibanot. The people are saying, lo et bo et beit Hashem lehibanot. But this is not the time for building the Beit HaMikdash. Why not? It came back. The Beit HaMikdash is ready to be built. Why is it not time to build the Beit HaMikdash? Because the Persian said no. Because the Persian said no. And we don't have independence, we don't have authority, we are vassals of Persia. V'hi dvar Hashem b'yad Chagai ha-Navi l'emor. Ha'et lachem atem l'shevet b'vatechem sfunim v'habayit hazeh charet. Is it time for you to live in villas and cottages? And for you to live in houses made of wood and made of stone and made of wonderful materials and marble and gold and silver, and for the Beit HaMikdash to live in ruins? Is that what it's time for? Then he goes on to talk about the fact that there's a great churban, and that there's a great famine, and there's no food, and the reason why there's no food is because God is punishing you and telling you that it's time to build the Beit HaMikdash. Either Persians say no, says the Navi. Since when do I care what the Persians say? I'm telling you, it's time to build the Beit HaMikdash. Take a look in Pasuk Chet. Alu ahar, vavetem etz, uvnu habayit, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the bayit, ve'ertzebo, and I will desire it. Ve'ekavda, what does ekavda mean? What does ekavda mean? What does the word kavod mean? When we talk about God saying ekavda, what are we talking about? Kavod Hashem. What is kavod Hashem? The Shechina. You build the Beit HaMikdash, and what will be the response? The Shechina. No, what do you think the people did? What do you think the people did? They built, they didn't build. They responded and said, sure, not a problem. And they begin to bring all the preparation, and they begin, the rest of this paragraph talks about the preparation, that they come to the Har Habayit with all the wood and with all the materials, and they begin to build. Skip down to Perek Bet. Pasuk Aleph, Bashvi'i ve'esrim ve'chad l'chodesh, on this 21st of Tishrei, which is the day of Hashanah Rabbah. They begin to gather everything together, and there are some who are very happy, there are some who are actually not so happy. There are those who saw this bayit in its first glory, in its first kavod, and here they are building the second temple, and they're very disappointed. To which God says, Pasuk Vav, Komar Hashem Tzvaot, od achat me'ati, v'ani ma'ish et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. Just a little bit longer. Just wait a little bit longer, and you will see I will turn the world upside down. Rashi on those words say, you know when od achat me'ati? Rashi adds two words. B'imei chashmonei. B'imei chashmonei. And just a little bit longer. Umileti et habayit hazek kavod. I will fill this house with kavod. Meaning I will fill it with Shechina. You build, the Shechina will come. When did they build? Take a look at the end of this paragraph. Starting with Pasuk Yud. Be'asim ve'arba'al ha'tshi'i. On the 24th of the 9th month. Now what's the 24th of the 9th month? Chav Dalet Kislev. Bishnat Shtayim L'dayavesh. On that day, take a look in Pasuk Tetvav. Ata simna levavchem min hayom hazev amala miterem sum even al even be'echal Hashem. This day forward, the day before we place stone upon stone in the Beit HaMikdash. Again in Pasuk Yitchet. Simna levavchem min hayom hazev amala. From this day forward. Miyom eslim miyad ba'al ha-tshi'i. Limin hayom asher yusad heichal Hashem. Simu levavchem. This was the dedication ceremony for the Eben Pinah, for the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash, which took place, the dedication ceremony took place on the 24th of Kislev, which means that the building of the Beit HaMikdash started the next morning on the 25th of Kislev. So now I ask the question, why did the Greeks defile the Beit HaMikdash on the 25th of Kislev? Because the 25th of Kislev is the anniversary of the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. Everybody knew it. At that point, they built the Beit HaMikdash. Dayovish came along later and said, oh, you're building the Beit HaMikdash? That's okay, I give you permission. But Nabi Zechariah understood. They had to build the Beit HaMikdash. They couldn't wait for permission from the Persians. Everything was going wrong because they were procrastinating. They're worried about the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah will come. You build it, the Shekhinah will come. It takes them almost 150 years later. And finally, after the Greeks defile the Beit HaMikdash, they finally rededicate the Beit HaMikdash. They reopen the doors of the Beit HaMikdash. And what do they expect now? Say it louder. The Shekhinah. It's all there. They rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. They now have political independence. They've gotten rid of the Persians. They've gotten rid of the Syrian Greeks. They have their own Malchus. For 150 years, they've been waiting for Malchus. They've been waiting for Malchut Yisrael to return to the Jewish people. The Rambam says that the achievement of Hanukkah was Chazra Malchut Yisrael Yetro Matayim Shana, when we established Jewish sovereignty after 200 years. That's what Hanukkah achieved. That's why I said that Hanukkah was the Yom HaTzmuz of Bayit Sheni. It was the day that we dedicated the Beit HaMikdash. It was the day that we achieved political independence from the Syrians and the Persians. It was the day that we had all the pieces of the puzzle together. And what were we expecting? What were we hoping for? Gilui Shechina. Every manifestation of Gilui Shechina in Tanakh always happened how? Through every manifestation of Gilui Shechina in Tanakh, always happens how? Ma'amar Hasina. Umareh Kvod Hashem ke'esh ochelet b'rosh ha'har. Shivat Yimei Miluim. Vateitze esh milifnei Hashem v'tochal al ha'mizbeach. When Shlomo HaMelech dedicated the Beit HaMikdash, the big Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo's Beit HaMikdash, v'ha'esh yarda min ha'shamayim, fire came out from heaven. When the Chashmonaim went in and dedicated the Beit HaMikdash, what were they expecting? Chag HaNevuah, Kavod Gadol Yeh Kavod HaBayit HaZeh HaAcharon Min HaRishon. The Kavod of this Bayit will be the best. They were expecting Esh min ha'shamayim. They went into the Beit HaMikdash, they dedicated it for 8 days, on Chav Hei Kislev, on the anniversary, 8 days, because that's what the Chanukat HaMishkan was, and that's what the Chanukat HaMizbeach was, 8 days, and now they expected Esh min ha'shamayim. You know what they got? Nes Pach Hashem. They didn't get the Eish Min HaShemayim. They got a blip. They got the menorah went up, and it lit. Where was the Eish Min HaShemayim? There was no Eish Min HaShemayim. You know why? They got the gespank of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the seal of approval. God said, yes, I agree. Here's the Shekhinah. Here's the Nes. But they didn't have the Eish because they didn't have the Ark. And they didn't have all of the other trappings. They were halfway there, but they weren't all the way there. They were on the journey. They were on the path. They weren't ready yet for the Eish. I asked two questions at the beginning when I'm going to end here and answer. The first fundamental question I asked is why the Nes Pach Hashem is not in Sefer HaMakabim. Here's an answer that I think is an original one. I have not seen this anywhere, but I think it's very compelling. I think the reason why Nes Pach Hashem was not in the Book of the Maccabees is because the Maccabees were extremely disappointed with Nes Pach Hashem. Because they expected much more. They went out of their way to model the Chanukat HaMikdash after Chanukat HaMikdash of Shlomo and after the Chanukat HaMishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they expected the Eish Min HaShemayim. They didn't realize that we were only part way there. And therefore, they were disappointed with the Nes Pach Hashem. The Gemara, on the other hand, was dealing with a different issue. And the Gemara's issue was L'shana Acheret. L'shana Acheret means not the next year, possibly, but perhaps L'shana Acheret means after the Churban. Remember I asked the question at the beginning, after the Churban, all of Batla Megillat Tanit, all of Megillat Tanit dissipated because it was no longer relevant. Hanukkah should have gone the way with the rest of Megillat Tanit. Hanukkah was about the establishment of Jewish sovereignty. It was about Malchut Beit Chashmonaim, says the Rambam. It was about the political and military victory over the Syrian Greeks. What's left of Hanukkah after the Churban? Nothing. And maybe that's the Gemara's question, my Hanukkah. What's left of Hanukkah? There's nothing left. The Malchus is gone. The political victory over the Syrian Greeks is gone. Jewish sovereignty is gone. Independence is gone. So what's left of Hanukkah? Says the Gemara, what's left is the core. Which was that the Nes Pach Hashem, while may have been disappointing at the time, but it was a demonstration of divine providence of Hashgacha Pratis. And it's that Hashgacha that would carry us through the exile and guarantee that we would one day come back. It's that Hashgacha that the Nevi'im talk about that is the only guarantee that we're going to have, that the nevuot of all of the Nevi'im that will tell us that we'll one day come back to Eretz Yisrael and we'll one day rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And so it's the Nes Pach Hashem that takes us from Chanukah Bayit Sheni to Chanukah of Bayit Shlishi. So Chazal set in place my Chanukah after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is over and the military and political victories are no longer relevant. Then Nes Pach Hashem becomes the central motif around which we will celebrate Hanukkah, because it is what will take us from Bayit Churban Bayit Sheni to Binyan Bayit Shlishi. My apologies for going over on the time. Enjoy Hanukkah.